Thank you for joining us today for the Conform to Christ podcast, where we seek to engage the mind, affect the heart, and call people to follow Christ. I'm Jay Jones, and I'm here with George Mays. It's Free for All Friday. How's it going?
That it is. Mm. How's that coffee?
That's good. Yeah. It's K-Cup McDonald's, if anybody wondered.
K-Cup McDonald's?
Just McDonald's blend.
Oh, yeah?
It's not bad. Yeah. It's pretty good. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
All right. I got something for you this morning, Jay. You said you weren't...
George, do we want to tell the people what this entire podcast was riding on?
If you want to. If you want to, Jay, that is... I'll leave it to...
Well, I'm feeling much better.
There's a... Even as I'm saying, I'm like, I'll leave it to your discretion.
Well, my dog almost died this week.
Mm.
Tuesday, and you know what's really sad about, like, I was just talking to you about it, and I'm like, man, I love this dog. Mm-hmm. I thought she was 5, but she actually is only turning 4, which means I got another year of her life back. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That night, or that evening, apparently, she ate a bunch of things. That she wasn't supposed to.
Yes.
Yeah. Things that swell up inside your guts and block you up. Right? They have a water absorbent, very water absorbent. So Wednesday evening, why are you laughing at my dog's pain, George?
I'm laughing at your storytelling. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm trying to keep it somewhat.
I know.
I don't want to gross everybody out. You know what I mean? So she, Tuesday night, she's like a, turns into like a zombie dog. Like she won't move. She's like in pain or whatever. She's just standing there and like drool. And then she would like disappear. We couldn't find her anywhere. She was like hiding. And like, I'm like, she's super sick. Anyway, she threw up a couple times, threw some things up. So, I got up early in the morning, took her to the vet as soon as I could, and they were like, we got to hospitalize her. We're going to have to give her some stuff all day to keep her throwing up, and we'll see if she doesn't get better. Then, of course, you know, they'll have to do like a surgery. Anyway, she's able to come home. She got everything out that way, and they were like, you need to make sure she uses the bathroom. If she doesn't, she's got to come back. You have to bring her right back. So this morning, I was waiting, and I told you, like, if she doesn't go to the bathroom, there's no podcast. So she finally did. I got her up, got her to eat a little bit, and took her on a little walk, but she walked so slow, like, you know. But eventually she did. So never been so happy to see somebody go to the bathroom in my whole life.
Out of all the things that would keep us from doing this podcast.
It was like a walk-off home run. My neighbors were probably like, what's going on out there? Yeah. So, here we are.
Well, here we are.
Yeah, we made it. Yeah. So, prayers for Minnie. Hopefully she learned her lesson.
I don't know if that's the worst story that you've told on here, but it's pretty close.
Man, it was sad, man.
Yeah.
It's the best dog I ever had for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like my emotional support animal for real. Yeah. Yep.
Well, I'm glad that she's doing better.
If anybody's feeling sad or you got issues going on, just come over to my house. My dog will sense it. She'll come over and she'll put her gigantic head right in your lap. You'll touch her, and she'll drain it out of your body. Mm. It'll just get drained right out of you. It's like a superpower. Yeah, that's a free offer. Anybody needs it, I won't even charge you for it. Bring over a cream soda, and call it good. Yeah.
Where do we go from here?
I don't know.
I never
hear you talk about your dog, George.
I mean, what do you want? Uh, what do you
Are you not emotionally connected?
I mean, I would be upset if something happened to her.
Yeah.
She's a good dog.
Yeah. Dogs are a gift from God. I'll tell you that.
Hasn't done anything interesting for me to talk about.
I thought she did something in your backyard once. Did she tear your fence down?
There was a pit bull that was in one of the yards behind us,
trying to get in after your dog,
and this dog ate through their fence and was trying to eat through my fence, and my dog was trying to get at that dog. And
that's a good dog. That's because you have so many kids.
Yeah. She's a good dog.
You have so many kids. That pit bull, it was like kids over there.
She's probably the smartest dog that I've ever had. She's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a good dog.
That's good. Good, good. Well, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, you said that you were weren't in a very good mood this morning, and I thought, man, I've got just the thing. I got just the thing for you, Jay.
Okay.
This was posted by Lloyd Legalist. Do you follow Lloyd Legalist?
I've seen a few of his posts.
Parody account.
Pretty funny.
I saw this because Phil Johnson reposted it.
Okay. He had a pretty rough go.
He did. I don't know what.
It was pretty serious.
I don't know. Yeah, he's got some medical problems. I'm
like,
not sure
he
what
had
it
put
is.
A tweet out, and he's like, "Nice knowing you guys."
Yeah.
At one point.
I don't know what.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going through, but yeah, he's got some medical problems.
Yeah.
Yep. He's still on Twitter though. He's still posting. I was gonna show you something that remind me. I'll show it to you off the air.
Okay.
But saw this. Maybe it'll put you in a good mood, Jay. You gotta crank it up to 11.
It was
for
a
this.
Public
oh,
venue.
No. I don't know what that
to
is.
Criticize.
I don't know what that is. That is not what I... Oh. I don't know why that is. YouTube was playing for some reason.
Mm.
That is not what I was looking for. Okay. All right, you got to crank this up to 11. This is a banger, Jay.
Lloyd Legalist.
This is a banger.
From the early hymn writers till now, no one has been able to write music that has uniquely blessed hearts like this man.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
You'll have no electricity. World War III, don't blame me. Store some water, food, and fuel immediately. Antichrist, he's not nice. Antichrist, he's not nice. Take his mark, you'll pay the price. Please don't dread Armageddon. Please don't dread Armageddon. Antichrist is such a liar. You can win. Just don't sin. You can win. Just don't sin. Please don't watch pornography.
Sorry.
You all right?
Yeah. It's available on Spotify.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. There's a...
You can win, just don't sin. It's as easy as that, Jay.
It's just that easy. Just don't sin. Well, that's pretty much the type of preaching most people hear.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't sin.
Yeah.
Be good. Be good. You'll be all right.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty good.
There's like a whole generation of like this type of weird stuff. Does our generation have this weird stuff, or is it something like... We don't
Did you
know.
Just ask me that. Yes, well, our generation has weird stuff.
Well, I don't mean wrong stuff. I mean stuff that's like super cringe. Like, but we don't know because it's our generation, and like you're blind to it in your generation, and you don't find out till later. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
So like our kids are gonna have a podcast and laugh about stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They'll probably watch our podcast and then make comments on it.
They probably will.
Can you believe?
Can you believe they had beards? Can you believe it?
Yeah. Well, not to be had an article that I thought you would find interesting, Jay. If you haven't seen it, you're going to see it now. These two stories were published on the same day a few weeks ago. And these are two articles from NBC News and CBS News.
Okay.
And here they are.
Here they are.
Melting, this is from NBC, melting polar ice is slowing the Earth's rotation with possible consequences for timekeeping.
You know what? I have read a little more than what they're telling you.
Well, here's CBS's headline. Earth is spinning faster than it used to. Clocks might have to skip a second to keep up.
Oh, my goodness. They don't really know.
So, same day a couple of weeks ago. It's going faster. No. It's
going slower. NBC, one, CBS. Yeah. All propaganda, man. Everything. It sure is propaganda. But did you know the actual scientists are a little worried about something? The core of the Earth seems to be slowing down, which eventually will have, like, it'll make its way out here. And what they're worried about is they think, I can't remember how many thousands of years that it goes, but there's a rotation they think happens where the pole will shift.
Okay.
Not like a complete flip. That could happen theoretically. But even a minor shift of the pole will have drastic effects on the planet.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of effects are they warning about?
That the pole will shift, and so the axis will turn, like where the North Pole is not where it is anymore.
Right. So it changed the equator.
Uh-huh.
And so weather, yep. Weather would be, okay.
Yeah. I'd take a shift. Which way do you want to go, north or south?
I don't want to get colder.
I want the shift that makes the wind not blow here.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had like 60-mile-an-hour winds the other day for no reason. It wasn't even storming at my house.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, what, Monday? Was that Monday?
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah.
Sunday or Monday? Yeah. Yeah, can we do something about the all the stuff that gives us allergies?
Yeah, I know. For real. Maybe if we shift south, we'll get new vegetation. Tropical vegetation.
Yeah. Interesting.
Anyway, they have no clue. That's what I know. That's what I've discerned.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know one thing, though. It's definitely not not caused by us pumping CO2 into the atmosphere.
Well, I was about to say it is caused by us, though, isn't it?
Well, it is ultimately. Everything's ultimately. Well, I mean, it's Adam.
Yeah, right.
You get to heaven and you're like, I feel like there's going to be sort of real conflict going on. Like,
bro.
Come on, bro. Yeah.
I sneezed like 30 times and it's your fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, the big story that everyone's been talking about this past week is Mark Driscoll.
Of course. It was only a matter of time once he kicked up ministry again.
When's the first time you were exposed to Mark Driscoll?
Probably the year before I got out of the military to go into the ministry, or to pursue going into the ministry, I would say, rather.
Yeah.
To pursue going into the ministry. So probably sometime that year, another guy who is also now a pastor, he was like, hey, check out this dude. And I can't remember what video it was that I saw of his. Could have been him, the Doctrine series, maybe. He had a Doctrine. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He turned it into a book.
Yeah.
That was probably it.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
I was introduced to Mark Driscoll through my cousin.
Philip, it's always Philip.
Yeah. Philip gave me, he let me read, what was it, Confessions of a Reformation Pastor or something like that.
Yeah.
And this was during the heyday of the emergent church.
Uh-huh.
And even as I was reading, I was like, there's just something off about this. And it was really the whole emergent thing.
Yeah,
which well, is
explain has pre- give explain it. People may not know what that is. Probably a lot of people.
I don't
even
know how to. I don't even know how to describe the emergent church. If you weren't there to see it,
it's like a cultural reaction to traditional.
Yeah,
church.
Yeah. Well, it was. They really wanted to get back to some of the more traditional elements. They really love the liturgy.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of their churches would look kind of like artsy Catholic type churches. They'd have like candles and but it really was pushed by the more artistic wave. So some of these churches would like allow you to set up like easels and stuff, and you could paint during the sermon. And Rob Bell, before he went completely off the deep end, was really kind of the face of the emergent church. There's some others lesser known, but Driscoll was kind of in that that circle. I think Chandler kind of was emergent adjacent in kind of the way that they did church. But the more extreme end was kind of postmodern, question everything. Question the things that you've been taught in church growing up. Which led to, you know, Rob Bell just abandoning any semblance of Christianity. Blue Light Jazz. Did you ever read Blue Light Jazz?
I know. I've heard a lot of people talk about it. They've read it, but I never read it.
What was the name of that guy?
It's about a guy who moves to college and kind of like questions his whole upbringing in Christianity and all that.
Yeah, yeah. So that was kind of my introduction to Mark Driscoll. But then, you would in Blue Light Jazz, Donald, what was his name? I gotta look it up real quick. It's gonna bother me.
Look it up.
I don't remember. I don't remember his name. Donald Miller. I think that was his name.
Let me
double check that. Yeah, Donald Miller. He would talk about his pastor, who he just referred to him in the book as cussing pastor.
Huh.
And I think it was MacArthur that maybe outed him. It's like, yeah, he's talking about Mark Driscoll.
Mm.
So Mark Driscoll would occasionally cuss from the pulpit while he's preaching.
Yeah.
Now, back in the day, Mark Driscoll was Orthodox.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
At least he professed Orthodoxy.
Uh-huh.
Like he was a Calvinist.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing, I think, doctrinally that we'd probably disagree with him would be his, he's charismatic. He's a continuationist.
Uh-huh.
But he would cuss from the pulpit. But then I think maybe the big like turning point was his Song of Solomon series.
Yeah.
He wrote a book. I don't remember what the name of that book was, but it was on marriage. And he had some rather gross things in that book.
Right.
But he was teaching through Song of Solomon. After he'd do his sermon, him and his wife would be up on stage and they would do like a Q&A. My wife and I tried to listen to it and we didn't make it through it. We were like, nah. this is too much. MacArthur again, wouldn't you know it? He had something on his radio broadcast about Song of Solomon, and he pushed back against Driscoll pretty hard, talking about how Song of Solomon is not explicit. Like, it's hidden behind poetic language.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's the sexual relationship between a husband and wife is it's not put in this explicit on explicit display.
Right.
Like, it's hidden for a reason. It's celebrated while at the same time it's hidden. It's masked behind a lot of poetry.
He wrote him several letters during this time, I think too.
So. Yeah.
MacArthur wrote letters to Driscoll.
And MacArthur was warning people about Driscoll.
Yeah.
And people just kind of wrote MacArthur off.
Well, they do what they do with MacArthur every time.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, whatever, old man.
Yeah. But then Driscoll, maybe fast forward, I don't know, 10 years? Maybe 10 years?
Yeah.
Maybe somewhere around there.
Uh-huh.
He's ousted from Mars Hill, and Mars Hill shuts down. That's
implodes.
That's their church and their church network.
Overnight. Imploded
multiple,
overnight.
They had multiple
campuses.
Sites,
yeah, multiple all over campuses. Seattle area.
Yeah, shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah, like suddenly.
Yeah.
And it came out as because of Mark Driscoll. He was abusing his power.
Yeah.
He was a bully.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, you know, MacArthur, he had his Strange Fire conference.
Yeah.
Arguing for cessationism.
Mm-hmm.
And Driscoll showed up unannounced and was like passing out his book.
Yeah.
And like harassing people at the at the conference. Yeah.
So you're making a case for my idea. Pastor fights. Yeah.
Okay.
You never seen like those different YouTube channels, bum fights? You seen that?
You watching bum fights, Jay?
I've seen bum fights. But pastor fights, organized, we can get, you know, Dana White involved for organization, and we can set up some real. We talked about it. We can set up some good ones, like Lawson versus Andy Stanley, similar weight class, would be epic,
yeah.
An epic battle. You could do Driscoll. I would say versus MacArthur, but he's a little older.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could do Driscoll old versus Driscoll new.
Mm-hmm.
Like the new Driscoll is like, let me cut down some trees and chop some firewood and wear my outdoor clothes and my ball cap. You know, young Driscoll, old Driscoll is hair
it's
gel.
Like, it's like he became a lumberjack after he left Seattle and he went down to Phoenix.
Well, yeah,
like he's
yeah.
he's ousted from Mars Hill. He disappears for like 2 months,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden he plants a new church in Phoenix.
Yeah,
and my wife likes to dig into this stuff more than I do. She went onto the church website. And it's cultish.
Yeah,
it's really cultish.
Huh. Yeah, so
he picks favorites.
Yeah.
Like if you're on his good side, then you get the favoritism of Driscoll, and if you do something to offend him,
yeah.
You're on the outs.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
But over the weekend, he was invited to speak at a conference.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Stronger Men's Conference.
Yeah.
And it is it's put on by. I can't remember the name of the church, but it's John Lindell. I can't remember the name of the church. It's you can go and you can look it up. And this is a conference that's been around for a few years, and they always do ridiculous things. Last year they had Chuck Norris come out in a tank.
No, I told you. I want to see Chuck Norris in a tank. Who doesn't?
I mean,
who doesn't? Who doesn't want to see Chuck Norris in a tank?
Yeah. Do you want to go to a Bible conference to see Chuck Norris in a tank?
I might would go and then leave right after.
Here's what a man. Here's,
right after.
Here's Chuck what Norris. A Christian man looks like. You got Chuck Norris coming out with like machine guns and his.
We could probably like calm things down in the Middle East if we put Chuck Norris in a tank. And like put him on a boat, Like he's en route.
You think so? Oh yeah.
Chuck Norris just, in a tank.
Don't
make a sense. Iran has been talking about just the threat.
Mm-hmm.
Iran's been talking about the secret weapon they have. They might unleash.
Because Chuck Norris is in his 80s, isn't he?
Yeah, but that just slightly evens the playing field. Slightly.
Yeah. Yeah. Where was I in the story? Oh yes, the Stronger Men's Conference.
Yeah.
This year they brought in a sword eater. His name is Alex Magala. I think that's how you say his last name. And he... ate a sword. I mean, they had a pole set up, and he... I won't show the video. Rips his shirt off. He climbs the pole.
Sounds like
to show how strong he is, I guess, and then he eats a sword.
I don't know what kind of men's conference this is, George. It's kind of starting to sound like gayer men's conference to me. Just that description.
Yeah, yeah. That I guess was Friday night. Saturday, Mark Driscoll, it's his turn to speak.
It was a whole day later.
I guess so. There's a lot of strands to this story.
Yeah, I kind of thought it was like this guy.
Think it is. I think it's the next day.
And then he like got up on stage right after.
At least from everything I'm reading, it seems like it was the next day. And so we've got this, people took video of Mark Driscoll getting up.
Yeah.
Do we want to show?
Yeah, go ahead and show it.
Mark Driscoll?
Yeah, yeah.
You might have to turn it up really loud.
I think I sent it to you. I was like, hey, check this thing out.
No, I sent it to you.
You sent it to me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's right. You sent it to me and a couple other guys. Yeah.
You'll probably have to turn it up pretty loud. It's a video taken on a phone. I don't know how well the audio is going to be, but we can give it a shot. This is Mark Driscoll getting up to speak.
As male or female, because they're non-binary, their sexuality shifts on a spectrum. They are transgender. Demons want you to be like them, not like him. He made you male and female. They want to remake you as not male or female so that you're no longer manifesting the image of God, but the counterfeit image of your mind. You may need to know, you younger men, you're living in a cult called America. You older men need to know,
this is a long clip,
that if you tolerate, they will die. In the next session, if I'm allowed to come back.
He already knows who he's over.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about how to be an Elijah.
He's got his ranching clothes on, too.
That man then ascended. See, our God is... is not arrogant. He doesn't us say, look, I'm so humble, he said.
So good.
And then he swallowed a sword. And Jesus Christ, okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that. Thank you.
Bringing back the cult, the song.
All right, there you go. And that's just part. That's what was it? You said Tom Buck had Act One.
Yeah. He has. Tom Buck tweeted it out this morning. This whole fiasco down to like acts. Act One.
Yeah.
Act Two. Act Three.
Yeah.
Act Four. It keeps going on all the way till today.
Yes. So we've got Act One was Driscoll calls out this for. He likens it to the Jezebel spirit.
Right.
Whatever that is. Because Mark Driscoll is like a hyper-charismatic. Uh-huh. He has said things publicly about how God even shows him people sinning. Like sexual sins. Uh-huh. Like he said the most weird, the most bizarre things. Uh-huh. This hyper charismatic, so he calls out this guy and this is Lindell. He tells Mark he's done. He leaves. Well, after that, Mark and Lindell come back out on the stage mm-hmm. and they have this discussion. And here's what Lindell says. Here's the clip that is
written. Is this the one I sent you? I sent you a clip.
I think he sent me this one.
Remember which one it was.
Yeah, I think he sent me this one.
Yeah. It's so masculine. I got a motorcycle up there.
You may not agree with either one of us. But here's the thing. You have to be careful that you do not criticize people who have the anointing of God on their life. Better to say nothing. Because what happens is, once you begin to criticize somebody who has the anointing on them, you're in the flesh. And once you're in the flesh, then you're moving toward unbelief. And once you move toward unbelief, then you live a barren life spiritually. And that's the danger. You see, you could go out of here not knowing Mark and I personally. You could go out of here chattering. And what happens is that it poisons your spirit and it leads you to a place of unbelief.
All right. So here's the play.
Yeah.
Don't criticize someone who has the anointing.
Right.
It's better not to, he said, it's better not to say anything mm-hmm. than to criticize someone who has the anointing. And by doing that, he immediately frees himself of any and all criticism.
Right, for sure. Yeah, that's the goal. It's just a form of manipulation. Mm-hmm. It's been done, and usually the measure, it seems, is if someone has the anointing, is do they have a large audience? In that case, like, Benny Hinn is the most anointed person ever of all time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Or Joel Osteen, the most anointed of all time, right. These two guys. So that is like an incredibly subjective and manipulative move to say, mm-hmm. don't criticize the Lord's anointed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
And they're taking it from David, mm-hmm. not touching Saul, mm-hmm. right? Like, he could have killed him two times in a cave.
Right.
And he won't do it because he's the Lord's anointed king.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a big difference in that, in how they're applying that.
Right. Right.
But it's just a form of manipulation. It's not to say that, like, pastors should never be critiqued or held accountable to things. But there is a way to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think... being in the pastoral position, I wasn't always a pastor. I think you have to be careful about just going to him for, like, if you have some critique, like, okay, is it actually necessary that I bring this to him? Maybe I should talk to other people before, and it should probably be in a major error. It should be like a major error. It shouldn't be like a minor thing, like your preference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But what they're doing is just, or he's doing, is making it so people can't actually critique him.
Right.
Like, why did you have a dude tear his shirt off and dance and then swallow a sword?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is that at a conference?
Right. Yeah.
But now you can't even critique him.
Yeah, anymore. Now you can't critique him. Yeah. There's more to the story, though. It keeps going.
Right.
That was, I guess, Act Two. was Mark coming back. The next day.
That's actually Act Four. Apparently,
that's Act Four, really.
Mark teared up, apparently, and he apologized for what he did.
Well, that's what...
And he said he should have respected Lindell because he was the father of his house.
Hmm.
I guess he's the father of the church, apparently.
Yeah. I think this is maybe Assemblies of God, I think, is what Lindell's...
You know, it's funny that he wants to go to the Bible in Matthew 18. He wants to stick to it because there's a way to do things, but that doesn't apply to ministry, right?
Yeah.
So when it comes to correction, Matthew 18, we got to follow to a T. Mm-hmm. Ministry, Bible... Instructions on how to do church. We had to follow this old ancient document. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bring in the monster trucks. Right. Whereas Paul, as I told you before, I've been thinking about all week, he says he doesn't preach with eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power.
Mm-hmm.
So we ought not to do things in the church that empty the cross of its converting power.
Right.
But that's the whole ministry. That's the whole Stronger Men's Conference. Things that empty the cross of its power.
It's all these conferences. It's all these conferences. It's the services of so many churches every single Sunday.
Yeah.
So maybe some context to 1 Corinthians and why Paul is saying that here to the
right.
to the Corinthians.
Yeah. So you've got disputes in the church. Some say I follow Paul. Some might say I follow Apollos. Some say Cephas. Some say Christ. But also in the background is that people don't think Paul is a good preacher. He's not eloquent. Like, apparently Paulus was very eloquent in his speaking abilities. But behind it also, in Corinth and in other cities, people would pay money to go watch people give speeches. And so rhetoric and your ability to give speech was like a main form of entertainment. You know what I mean? It's like going to a NFL game.
It's hard for us to... It's hard for us to get into that cultural mindset because who wants to go listen to someone give a speech?
A lot of people back then.
A lot of people back then. And there's good rhetoric and bad rhetoric. I mean, mm-hmm. rhetoric by itself is not bad, but these professional speakers mm-hmm. would go around using rhetoric, and it didn't really matter what the substance was.
Right.
It it didn't really matter if what they were saying was true. They simply were trying to be as eloquent as possible and persuade you through their rhetoric.
Uh-huh. And their
good
delivery.
Good rhetoric tied with truth is a powerful way to communicate.
Right.
But rhetoric for the sake of rhetoric, without any regard for what's true. We see this in courtrooms. Uh-huh. That's what lawyers do.
Right.
The defense attorney, I mean, O.J. Simpson just died last week. If you remember his trial,
mm-hmm.
it was filled with rhetoric.
Right.
That he's got his lawyers who are masters of rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was what was going on.
Yeah. And so in response to that, there's a whole book written on this. I'd recommend it for any preacher. I'll have to bring it in next time and show it to you guys. I can't remember the name of it. This whole book pretty much on this section of scripture and what he means and his preaching. And he says, I don't do that. I preach Christ unless the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So that has a broader application, I think, meaning, okay, what are we doing culturally here that's similar in ways that we think these things will win people to the Lord, when in fact what we're doing is we're emptying the cross of its power, of its converting power, because I'm putting effort and trust into these things, and somehow that is affecting then the effectiveness of a clear gospel proclamation,
right?
And the calling up to people to repent. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to make it, you know, very clear. You know, Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ. And that's the power. That's where the power is. It's in the preaching of the gospel. So, but again, like you said, it's not just men's conferences, it's churches. And churches have completely structured themselves in this way that I think a good case could be made. It'd be something, I'm not going to do it. I'm done with the doctoral work, but somebody should write a PhD on it. They should study the American church in the ways that we have emptied the cross of its power just by the way we do church. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a great project for some younger guy, let's say.
Yeah. It's thinking that you can persuade people through your gimmicks to trust in Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's here's where our theology really affects how we actually practice what we actually do, because if you believe that man is free to either choose or not choose Christ anytime he wants.
By that you mean not enslaved to their sin.
He's not enslaved to sin. He's kind of neutral,
mm-hmm.
and he could of his own free will choose Christ when he wants to, or not choose Christ when he wants to. That the Holy Spirit really is, I guess, wooing everybody. And he doesn't effectually call people, then the weight for conversions really does lie on the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
The preacher has to convince people eloquently, or what we see nowadays through props, gimmicks, the type of music that's played, turn the lights down really low, prime the pump by having people in the audience to get up and come forward during an invitation to help encourage other people to get up and come forward. That's all the outworking of theology.
Right. Yeah. Kind of thought of this because I had to jump start my car not that long ago, and I've got a little jump starter, but it's almost like say a unregenerate person is a car that won't start. Okay. Battery is low, or the battery is dead. So in this view, you know, modern men's conference, a lot of the way a lot of people do church, it's almost like they say, okay, yes, the Holy Spirit is involved, so let's plug the Holy Spirit on to the battery. But it's not giving enough voltage to get the battery to a place where it can jumpstart the car. So then they're like, you know what else is needed? Cool church. And so that's another jump starter. They'll add to it. They're like, it's not quite there. You know, what we need is something else. Mm-hmm. And then they'll add another gimmick or another thing to persuade Monster Trucks, Chuck Norris, whatever. Boom. Plug it in.
You don't need the Holy Spirit alone. You need the Holy Spirit and Chuck Norris.
And Chuck Norris, but. Yeah. And then you get eventually get kind of enough, and then the car can start. The conversion can happen. But in reality, what it is the battery is dead, and the Holy Spirit comes and is like, pop the hood. I got a new battery. He takes the dead battery out, and he gives you a live battery. Boom, car starts, conversion. Right? That's biblical conversion. It's all the work of the Spirit, which is done through the preaching of Christ. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe that, then you will do all kinds of other things to help the Holy Spirit out. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see. But it's just emptying the cross of its power.
Right.
Right. So it plays into everything.
Yeah. Yeah. If you believe that conversion is the work of the Spirit, then it really frees you to not have to come up with. I just can't imagine some of these pastors that they do all these gimmicky things, and you've got to keep coming up with new gimmicks because if you just do the same old stuff, it's going to get stale.
Yeah, that's why a lot of pastors. That's why a lot of pastors will leave after about 4 years.
Yeah,
go somewhere else. They can do it again.
Yeah, you just have to keep coming up with new stuff. To believe that salvation is a work of God the Spirit through the preaching of the gospel is so liberating. That doesn't mean that we just sit back and we don't do anything. It means that we study our Bibles really well and prepare sermons really well to communicate the truths of the scriptures because we understand that faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And the cross is powerful enough to convert dead sinners.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the hardest, like worst sinner you can think of.
I mean, Jesus said it himself. When he's lifted up, he'll draw all men to himself. Because it's a cross.
Mm-hmm. Right. the end of John chapter 6, it is the Spirit that gives life, right? The flesh does nothing,
right?
Can do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to listen to those words and really meditate on what they mean.
Yeah.
It's the Spirit who gives life. So.
Yeah. I mean, we just talked about this from your passage. We just talked about this on Tuesday that... apologetics can be a useful tool, but it's not the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have to feel like you have to have this answer to every single objection or every single question that an unbeliever has. You as just an average blue collar Christian can share the gospel with a professor from Princeton.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have like several PhDs to communicate the gospel to this person.
Right.
Because it's not the apologetics that's going to convert. It's the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It's the word of the cross. And any Christian should be able to present the gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
So it really is freeing.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
The rest of the story, the next day, Driscoll tweeted this. If you want to throw this up on the screen. promoting his book.
Yeah.
About the Jezebel spirit of...
yeah.
Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Have you heard that little reel?
Yeah.
I need to get that button, like where we have these. Where's the music? Yeah, I've got these. We need to get a surprise, surprise one.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
You never use those buttons.
I know. I need to label. I don't even know what they are.
You've got Evangeline.
What's
on
wrong
there.
With you?
Yeah, you got RC Sproul on
we
there.
We need to use that more. That's a good one. That one could be useful. I need to. I really need to label these sounds so I can just hit them.
Nope.
There's
nope.
Evangeline when she was a baby saying nope.
Nope.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. And so
we need to, you need to utilize those. I can't reach over there and do it for you, Jay. You've got to be on.
I get too engrossed in our conversation.
Yeah.
And I just forget about them. Yeah. So he tweets a promotion to his book.
It tweets that. And then Sunday, I guess it was Sunday, more comes out. Yeah. As Lindell stands before his church and tells, actually, maybe it was last night. It might have been last night, Wednesday night.
Huh.
Might have been Wednesday night because all these videos just came out today.
I
was just seeing them this morning. that he came before the church and just exposed Driscoll. Like Driscoll went home and just started tweeting all this or texting all this stuff to his son, to Lindell's son.
Right.
Talking about the sword eater.
Right.
And
and encouraging him to take control of the church from his dad.
Yeah, yeah. It's so
like seize control from your dad, he's out of control.
Yeah.
That's wild, man.
It is. Yeah. And so Lindell and his church are doing church discipline on Mark Driscoll, who's not a member of their church. I don't know how that works.
Well, so far
but urging people not to follow Driscoll anymore. And what's so funny is that he acts shocked by Driscoll's behavior.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where this came from. It's just
right.
Like this is Driscoll. This is what he's been doing. This is what he did at Mars Hill. This is what he's been doing at his new church.
Yeah.
If you invite Mark Driscoll to your conference, you get what you get. Like you get Driscoll.
Yeah. Yeah. He wouldn't listen to Piper. So first Piper tried to like reel him in early on, I guess. Mm. He didn't listen to John Piper.
Yeah.
MacArthur wrote him numerous letters. He wouldn't listen to John MacArthur. He blew him off. He wouldn't listen to his own church elders. Mm-hmm. The whole church tried to like rein him in. He wouldn't listen to the church. He just left to avoid church discipline. And now, surprise, right? He's back at it. Now he's encouraging his son to overthrow his dad and take his ministry.
Yeah. You messed up by inviting Mark Driscoll to your conference.
Right.
Yeah. Now you gotta deal with it.
I just figured out why he's wearing a ball cap all the time. It's because he's going bald. Did you see that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's been balding for a long time.
I don't remember him having cool guy hair at Mars Hill. He used to spike it up.
Oh,
you
remember
that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The grunge. He was like kind of that grunge look.
Right.
He used to wear those like thick leather bracelets and... Yeah, it was super cool back in the day, I guess, to wear those.
I guess so.
I missed that fad.
You could always bring it back.
That was probably in the days when I only wore like one pair of clothes a day.
Yeah.
Or a
week. That's pretty grunge.
Back in my army. Well, it's the army uniform, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you come home, if it's not super sweaty, you're like, I'm just wearing that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Same clothes.
All right. Well, that's not very grunge.
Yeah.
You got to rage against the machine, Jay.
Yeah.
But one other thing, and then I'm done with Mark Driscoll.
All right.
Is that people are having a hard time determining whose side to be on because Driscoll's calling out this sword eater. I just didn't want to show the video just because it's kind of gross. Like he tears off his shirt and he's climbing this pole, and it's just weird for it being at a men's conference. I guess it was to show like how strong he is, and he is like a famous sword eater.
Yeah,
like he's I don't know, his mentor. He actually posted something in response to Driscoll. It's a long statement. I won't read the whole thing, but he says, I'm a Christian. What I do is entertainment that has a cultural tradition that dates back over 1,200 years. It's a discipline showcasing human strength and agility. And he pushes back against Driscoll, comparing it to stripping. His mentor is a leader of Sword Swallowers Association International. That's something to be a part of.
I guess. Janice,
and he's a multiple Guinness World Record holder. And he goes to Driscoll's church. He goes to Driscoll's church. So
the,
Driscoll
the mentor?
Has, yeah. So Driscoll has a sword eater at his church. And he just says, I'm a Christian and have always aimed to use my talents to inspire and entertain audiences in a way that respects my faith. The act in question was designed to be a celebration of physical human achievements and is aligned with the James River Church's purpose in bringing others into the light of God. It's essential to approach such performances with an understanding of their intention rather than reducing them to mere entertainment. He said somewhere here that he was...
Where is this James River Church at?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Is it in Branson? I thought I saw a James River.
I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know. But anyway, he does it to... it provides inspiration to the audience and permission for them to reach new heights of what's possible in their life. So...
James River Church is in the Joplin area. And I guess Springfield.
So he claims to be a Christian, and he wants his act to inspire people
to do
achieve great things.
Achieve great things.
And in the public rebuke of Mark Driscoll, Lindell's he is defending this guy, and he says he's been a Christian for 10 years. I went on to this guy's Facebook page. This is from last year, but that's still within the 10 years of this guy being being a Christian. And this is what I found. A peaceful warrior, a spirit of mindfulness.
Very strange.
Dressed
like a Buddhist.
Yeah. So.
A spirit of mindfulness. I didn't read that in Ecclesiastes anywhere, George.
Yeah.
I saw things like this. Don't worry too much about your life, because no one will remember you after you're dead. I guess that's mindful.
Yeah, I guess so. So if you have been following the controversy and you're wondering who was right, Driscoll or Lindell, I would say they are both awful and you don't have to come down on either one of their
sides.
You don't have to pick a side in this fight because they are both terrible and...
Right.
They both.
Yeah. I mean, if you're at a conference.
Neither one of them are people that I would.
Let's say you're at a conference.
These are wise Christian men who you should be listening to.
Yeah.
Avoid Mark Driscoll like the plague. this guy having him at this conference after everything that's happened, it's on him. Everything that's happened. You get what you yeah. asked for. Like, you invited this upon yourself. But then Lindell having this guy come and do this act, then championing him as this great Christian. There's problems here,
right?
And just don't touch the Lord's. You know, don't criticize the Lord's anointed. And they're both just a mess.
Uh huh. Yeah, yeah. It does make you think that Driscoll did plan the whole thing out, though, because he wanted to promote his book. Because if that happened Friday...
It's Driscoll. Of course, this
happened Friday.
He knew exactly
what he was doing. But you hang around a whole day and go on Saturday.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've talked about Matthew 18 on here before. We had a whole episode on Matthew 18 and how to... I think we've had two on Matthew 18. It doesn't apply in this situation anyway, because this is done in front of a whole conference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't... You keep the circle small. That's the general counsel. When someone sins against you, you keep the circle as small as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since this is a public display at a conference where there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, the circle is already big.
Right.
It already is involving everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
That they're in it. If Driscoll had gone to Lindell privately, What would Lindell?
He wouldn't.
Done? He just wouldn't have had Mark Driscoll come out on stage. Have
been able to speak.
And so it's not the circle's already big, and so I don't think that Driscoll, on just the very basic level, I don't think he's wrong for calling it out, except for this. As far as I know, this happened the previous day.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know all the details to what happened, but. Calling it out publicly in front of everyone who was there, I don't think that was necessarily wrong, but everything that we know about Driscoll, it makes it very suspicious.
Yeah.
Why he did it the way he did it. He's got a book that he's promoting, coming back on stage, and it's just all a mess.
And there's all kinds of manipulation.
Oh yeah, I saw so many people that were saying, "Yeah, right on."
That's how he's talking. Like, I'm sorry, I'm hoarse. I was praying for you all morning. Lost my voice. Mm-hmm. That's a manipulation move right there.
Yeah. Maybe he was right in like his critique of it, even though he. He's got some weird stuff.
Yeah.
He reduces a lot of stuff to sexual stuff.
Yeah, he does.
Which I think is revealing something about Mark Driscoll. Uh-huh. But that doesn't mean that Lindell's right. They both can be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I would say that they are.
Yeah. Yeah. We could settle this in the octagon in passer fights. Driscoll versus Lindell.
You keep pushing this. I don't know.
It's a small knit. It's a small. What's the word?
Did I show niche? You the? Have I ever showed you the trailer for the cage fights?
Mm-mm.
The church.
Oh yeah. No, don't get me wrong. This wouldn't be like a gospel event. It would just be. This wouldn't be like anything. You know, we're emptying the cross of its power here. This would just be for sheer entertainment and fighting purposes. Yeah. I mean, it's the Manly Men's Conference, George, right?
Surprised they haven't done anything like that at this conference.
You know,
it seems more like showcasing manliness than this guy. I mean, if you dare, you can go watch the.
You had brought
There's
this
videos
up.
Of this guy
idea,
doing this.
This idea is actually a great idea, but where its true potential lies is in claymation.
Yes,
you brought that up. If we had someone at our church that could do claymation,
if anyone remembers MTV Celebrity Deathmatch,
yeah,
and the claymation fights between these celebrities,
yeah,
I think pastor fights
could be good.
If anyone's got potential. If anyone has the know-how to make clay and knows how to film. Fights, we can make it happen.
Yeah, you could have Benny Hinn enter the ring. You know, he enters, takes his coat off, and he swings it at the guy and knocks him out. Yeah, or nothing happens because he's like Lawson. Your witchcraft has no power here. And then he rushes him, you know, like he did when he played D1 football.
Uh huh.
Spears him into the cage. Yeah. Like this could be.
It could be good. It could. Yeah.
This could be good. Yeah.
Have merchandise.
Make sure we get credit if anybody out there.
Oh man, if we come across this in the next 6 months, be hearing from our lawyer.
Yeah. All right, I'm done. I don't know about you.
I'm done.
I got to get home and check on the dog.
All right.
Oh, it's me. Thanks for joining us today for the Conform to Christ podcast. Hopefully, this was of some benefit. At least you got.
I question it.
At least you can get out of it that we ought not to empty the cross of its power by doing crazy shenanigans. That's a good takeaway, I think. So come back next week. We'll be back in Romans for Text Driven Tuesday. We'll be looking at idolatry. This is the next place that Paul goes in Romans, looking at idolatry. Go ahead and pass this along to your friends. Give us a like, subscribe, share, maybe write us a review. We'll see you next week.